Hi, River Runners, and all of our guests who are joining us online. Hey, just continue to encourage you guys to share any comments, thoughts, what God may be moving in your heart in the comment section there, and just join in the conversation as we just continue on in our series, Summer on the Mount. We're looking at the most influential message that has ever been given in human history, bar none. Second place isn't even close. We're looking at a message that Jesus gave that is more quoted, more cited, more dissected. In fact, we are spending 8 weeks just on this message that Jesus gave, and we're not the first ones to do this. It is the most translated message ever, and it is a message that is relevant today in the 21st century as it was in the first century, and it is a message that is just as relevant here in the United States as it is in the Philippines, in India, Nigeria, Argentina, Germany, and all over the world. It's that impactful. In fact, what is so amazing to me about this message, it was that Jesus was about 30 years old when he gave this message. He was just a young man. He's practically a millennial. And not only that, but this is a message that was given not only by a 30-year-old, but a 30-year-old who had no formal education. Maybe perhaps he might have been more than just a normal human being that happened to hit the cosmic lottery of human influence. Maybe he might be somebody a little bit different than that. Hey, so today we're continuing on in that message that he gave 2,000 years ago, and we're looking specifically at the topic that he now turns to in this message on prayer. Now, before we get to what Jesus has to say about prayer, let us go back all the way back to the beginning of the first words out of his mouth when he gave this message. This is very important because these first words really help you to give the context of everything else that he says in order to really understand what he's trying to get at for the rest of this message. You really need to really rethink about what he said right out of the bat. And so this is what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Jesus says this. He says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. In other words, what he's saying here is God blesses those who are poor, not just physically poor, but really what he's talking about is spiritually poor. And another version said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Okay. And he says, and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So what does that have to do with prayer? Well, first of all, when you think about prayer, when is it that you usually pray the most or pray the most intensely? It's probably when you have a big need. We tend to pray when we have needs. And for instance, you know, when the COVID numbers go up, or maybe we even happen to get some symptoms, what do? Oh God, please, I pray that I don't have this virus. Just this last week, my four-year-old little girl had to get her four-year-old shots, and the next day she had 102 fever. And I can tell you, it was in my mind where I was saying, okay, God, please, I pray that this is just from, you know, the shots and not some kind of symptom for the COVID. But she's fine. Everything's good. It happened to be with the shots. But here's the thing. Usually when the numbers go down or you get a negative test or something like that happens, like in my household, what do? We tend to stop praying, you know, or if our finances are going haywire and we're really scared, oh God, please help us. But then when everything begins to settle down, maybe get a little bit more financial security, what do? We stop praying. But what Jesus says all throughout this letter so far is he really makes it clear to us in understanding that we don't just need him in those big moments. We need him every single day, all day. Every single day. That's why if you go back and you read Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7, which is Jesus's message that was recorded by one of his followers, Matthew, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5, you'll see Jesus really hammers the point that we all need him all the time. For instance, he said that, you know what, if you call people an idiot, a fool, you curse them, you're basically in danger of the fire of hell. I mean, that's a quote from Jesus. That's pretty big. Let me ask you a question. Over the last 24 hours, did you call or think of anybody being an idiot or a fool? Now, remember, we are in the time of mass, no mass, social distancing, not social distancing, opening up, lockdown. Have you thought or called anybody an idiot or a fool or something like that? I'm on Facebook. I know it. I see a lot of it out there. We struggle with that. No, you can say, wait a minute, you know what? But they are being fools and they are being idiots. Well, that may be true and it may not be. But here's the thing. Our God, who knows everything about us, I know he could do this to me and I know he can do it to all of us. He could all day long just keep calling us idiots and fools because we do that. We do a lot of foolish and idiotic things. But does he do that? No, he loves us. He desires to build us up. He desires us to grow and to desires for us to have a relationship with him. And so at the end of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. That we are to love perfectly as our Father loves us perfectly. We are to interact with other people the way that God interacts with us. And Jesus said, you know, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. We are to do the same thing. And every single day we struggle. We struggle over our pride. We struggle over hating other people. We struggle over the wounds that people have caused us. We struggle with wanting more of something or someone. We get greedy. Every single day, we struggle with that. And that's a major point that Jesus makes. And so what Jesus is saying is that we really do need God. And that is why we need to talk to him all the time to help us to move through all of these things in our lives that want to come out of our hearts that are ugly, negative, prideful, greedy, you name it. So it's in that vein that God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, that we need to think about prayer because we need him all the time. So when it comes to prayer, how do we approach it? There's been a lot of confusion about what do we do? How do we say it? How do we go about doing it? What kind of posture do we have? What kind of words do we say? And for 2,000 years, we've been very confused about this. In fact, even pop culture has made some fun about our awkwardness and how much we really don't really know how to pray. For instance, if you ever seen Meet the Parents, you can see it in this scene here. He's asked to pray, doesn't know what to pray, and so he's praying for God to bless the smorgasbord of food, and then he drops in some lyrics from Godspell, you know, day by day, three things I pray, to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day by day by day by day. It's awkward. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like in Talladega Nights, we're praying to baby Jesus. Do I pray to baby Jesus? You know, dear, sweet baby Jesus. And it's like, wait a minute. He's pretty much not baby Jesus anymore. It's like, I don't care. He's still baby Jesus to me, so I'm going to pray to baby Jesus. And so even to this day, we are confused about how do we approach God? What do we do? What do we say? And we kind of struggle over that. I remember the first time that I prayed out loud in a group of other people. Those of you who have prayed out loud before, maybe you remember the first time somebody asked you to pray in front of people, and it was really weird and awkward. For those of you who have never done it and desired never to do it because it is weird and awkward, I feel you. I totally understand. So I was back in college, and somebody said, hey, Tyler, why don't you pray? And of course, in my mind, I'm like, what? No way. But, you know, pretty cool. You know, all right, I'll do it. But inside, I'm just like, you know, sweating and panicking and all that. And so I grew up in a very high church, liturgical kind of church, kind of regal King James kind of way. And so I began to pray the way that I was kind of accustomed to growing up and hearing and listening. And so I don't know if these were the exact words that I used, but I said something to the effect of, oh, Father, thou art holy. We beseech thee to bless us with all the blessings that we need. And I would go on and on and on and on and on. And then I'd finally say, amen. And at that moment, when I opened up my eyes, every single person was just staring at me and just looking at me with this really puzzled look. And one guy, I kid you not, one guy looked at me and goes, what in the world was that? I was mortified, you know, and I don't know when was the next time I prayed out loud to other people. Let me just encourage you guys. You know, if you're a Christ follower, if somebody's praying for the first time, maybe the first things out of your mouth is shouldn't be, what was that? But anyways, through all of that, and just leaning to God and getting to know God, I began to learn something about what it means to communicate with our Father. That really what our Father really wants us to do is just have a conversation with him. Just to be us. Because here's the language that God listens to. God really isn't that, it's not that important that we pray in English, right? the language that God listens to is the language of the heart, the language of love. That we are authentic before him, that we are just us, that we just give our hopes and our fears, our dreams, the things that we're angry about, the things that we're excited about, that we do life with him, okay? And so that's important as we kind of get into these things that Jesus says in this message about prayer. So if you have your Bible, once you flip over to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 5. You can get in your device or wherever you're at, just look it up, search over there, all right? So Jesus starts off, and then he says these words. He says, when you pray, all right, when you talk to God, this is what you don't do. Don't be like the hypocrites. If you remember, if you were with us last week, remember about what a hypocrite is. It's an old Greek term in the theater world where you would wear a mask. You would have a certain appearance, you know, that masked the reality that was underneath. So another way to think about hypocrisy is just an appearance. So here, what we're seeing here is Jesus basically saying, when you pray, don't have the appearance of looking like you're close to God, when in reality, you're not, because you're prideful and you want other people to admire you. You want to bring glory to yourself. You look like you want to be close to God, but your heart is really far away because you want, you know, all the attention to yourself. And so he says, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where, here's the motive, where everyone can see them. Now, this is a very different culture than ours. You know, 2,000 years later, we don't necessarily get a bunch of kudos and a bunch of people going, wow, they must be really close to God if we go out in the street corners and start praying out loud in our culture. Most of our people in our culture kind of look at us like, well, that's kind of weird. Maybe they have some kind of mental issues. And so the pendulum has kind of swung way to the other side where we won't pray in public because we don't want people to think that we're weird and we want people to admire us. And so we don't pray out loud because we don't want them to think that we're some kind of weird religious people. But in those days, it was very much an honor culture that if you prayed and you were a religious person, then everybody thought, oh, that person must be really close to God. They must be really godly. And so they were like, wow, in that. So there are people that in that culture who had the appearance of being like, you know, close to God. And so they would pray out loud in public squares and things like that in order for people to admire them. Now, even within our own little church community, we can do this as well. We can gather together as Christians in small groups or at a prayer night, and we want people to hear our incredible, great, eloquent, amazing prayers for them to think that we are closer to God than maybe we really are. Because here's the thing that Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that, hey, what the Father doesn't really want is the appearance that you care about him. He actually really wants you to care about him. And so that's why Jesus says, I tell you the truth. That is all the reward they'll ever get. And what's that reward? The reward is that human beings will pat you on the back because you gave the appearance that you're closer to God than you really are. That's your reward. Doesn't really sound like much of a reward, does it? That's why Jesus says, you need to approach it not from a self-centeredness, not from a position of making people think that you're closer to God. Really what the Father wants is for you to actually be closer to God. And so he goes on in verse 6 and he says this. So let's restart this. Instead of this is what you don't do, this is what you do. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to who? Pray to your Father in private. What Jesus is saying is that really what the Father wants from us is for us to have a relationship with him, to talk to him, that it would be about us and him relating to him and just communicating to him. Kind of think about it this way. You know, as a dad, you know, I could go out in public and I could be really, you know, affectionate to my kids and give them big encouragement and say, wow, you guys are amazing, in hopes of, you know, to give the appearance of that people will think that I'm just this amazing dad. And then I can go home and never talk to my kids because I'm distracted. I'm really more into myself. That's the whole reason why I want people to think I'm a good dad anyways, really, is because it's really about me. And so when I'm by myself, I'm doing my things and the things that I want to do. Now, to my kids, what kind of dad do they want? Do they want a dad who gives the appearance that they're a good dad and an engaged father in that relationship? Or do they really want a father who really loves them and really wants to spend time with them and to talk to them? So what Jesus is saying when he talks about how we go and we approach our father and talk to him, we need to approach him with the understanding that really what he wants is not the appearance that we like him. He wants us to really like him. He wants us to really know him, to talk to him, and to be with him. Not to have the appearance that we're close to him, but to actually be close to him. So what do we say to him? Well, first of all, here what we see Jesus again, he gives an example of what not to do, and then he gives an example of what to do. What not to do, he goes on and he says this. So when you pray, when it comes to what you should say, well, first of all, don't be like the Gentiles or the other people and babble on and on and on and on. Just say the same words over and over and over, because they think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again. And Jesus said, sometimes we can approach prayer kind of like a genie in the bottle. We just keep rubbing that bottle and hope that wish comes out and we get what we want. And so we think that if we say the right words or we keep doing the words over and over and over and over and over again, that somehow there's magic in the words that get us what we want. And Jesus says, that's bad communication too. What God really wants is just an authentic heart for where you're at. Kind of what has really impacted me in my life was a few years back, I had a really good friend of mine. He's just a wonderful man, loved the Lord, loved his wife and kids, just desired to live his life for the Lord. And he was a man of not very many words. And so when we would get together in a small group and we would just kind of pray to the Lord, and there was a need, say something like somebody had cancer, and he would pray, and he would just say something like, Father, you are the healer of all things, and we just say this because we recognize that. Please heal them of cancer. We say that together. Amen. And that's it. That's all he would say. But his heart really meant it. He didn't say very much, but he said exactly where his heart was. He loved the Lord and loved other people and loved that person, desired for that person to be healed of that cancer. He didn't go on and on and on and babbling over and over and over with these just incredibly eloquent words and thinking that in those things that moves the heart of our Father. He knew and understand that what moves our Father is our heart. Sometimes you kind of think about it, we can be really silly about this. Think about two different types of people. This person over here prays to God and just, man, their prayer is just full of Bible terms and it has poetry. They even rhymed in their prayer. It was amazing. And this one, they're just kind of fumbling around their words. Maybe they stuttered a bit and it wasn't very eloquent. Let me tell you what God doesn't do. God doesn't go, hey, you know what? That was an amazingly beautiful prayer. I think I'll bless them. And since they stuttered and their words were not very clear, they need to work on that. Of course not. We think that's silly, and God thinks that's silly. God listens to the heart of the person coming to him. And so we don't need to babble on and on, and we don't need to worry about what kind of words we say to him. We just need to give him our heart and our words. And so Jesus goes on in verse 8. He says, so don't be like them, all right? Your Father already knows exactly what you need before you ask him. And I love these verses and these words of Jesus here. Because Jesus basically says, hey, you don't need to go on and on. He already knows. In fact, he knew it before you even said anything. And when it comes to talking to God about the things of our lives, oftentimes what we do is we come to our Father and we come to him as if he doesn't really know anything. Hey, Father, just in case you didn't know, these are all my needs in my life. I just thought you need to know them in order to help me along through this. Really, I think what Jesus is basically saying here, and he'll say this kind of again, another part of this message, is this. Your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. So maybe instead of telling him what you need, maybe a better thing to do would be to ask him the question, Father, you are all wise, you know all things, and you already know what I need. So I don't want to assume that I know what I need. So please, you tell me, give me clarity of what I truly, truly need. And I'll be open to that. Because here's the thing. when we come at God and we say, I need, we become inflexible to really begin to listen to him on maybe there might be something that we really need. Maybe we thought we needed this, but maybe there's something else that we really need. But we close ourselves off to really listening to God when we're only coming at him with a need shotgun, rather than just saying open-handed, you tell me, Father, what I need. And so he goes on. And so when we come with that posture of how we talk to our God, Jesus says this, pray like this. Now, this is important. A lot of us grew up with these words of Jesus, and we've heard them over and over. Maybe we've heard them in different versions, like our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, et cetera, et cetera. These weren't words by which we were to speak again and again and again and babble on and on and on and on and on. These were principles to help us to understand how we can have great communication with our Father. And so he says, this is how you should, these are how you should pray. These are principles, if you will. So when Jesus talks here, this is very important to understand. When Jesus uses words, he's very intentional with the words that he uses. He doesn't have a wasted word, if you will. These words are very thought out. So he says, our Father in heaven. So he says, when you pray, remember that it's not just you. You're in this with everybody else. That this isn't just a relationship of individuality between you and your Father. It's also, we are to be in relationship together with our Father. And I love the word that he chose to use here, which was Father. He didn't say our God in heaven. He said our Father. It was intentional to help us to realize what kind of God we're coming into the presence of. We're coming into a presence of a God who's like a father who loves you and cares about you. And this is important because when it comes to trusting people, when we come to trusting anybody, we usually look for two characteristics. Sometimes we don't even recognize that we're even doing that. But one of the biggest characteristics that we look at when it comes to really trusting somebody is we kind of subconsciously ask the question, are they for me? Do they care about me? Or are they going to harm me or hurt me? So Jesus uses this word Father to help us to realize that when we come to our Father to talk to him, we need to come to him with the realization that he is safe, that he loves us, that he cares about us, that he wants us to win, all right? And so he says, our Father in heaven, and he says, may your name be kept what? Holy. What does the word holy mean? It simply means different, okay? It means different. God is holy because he's different. He's really different, okay? He's different in the way that he loves. He's different in the way that he understands things. He's different in the way that he's so powerful and wise. He's different. So the second thing when it comes to trusting people, you usually subconsciously sometimes ask the question, are they able? They be me nice, but are they able to help me? Are they able to bring me through this? Are they able to guide me? Are they able to do those things that I need to happen in my life? And so what Jesus is basically saying is that when you come into contact with your Father and you start talking to him, recognize that he's not only for you, but he's also able. He's also able to help you through what you're going through in your life. So when you talk to him, that's the mindset that you should have when you come to your Father and begin to talk to him about what's going on in your life, that he's for you and that he's able to help you to work through the process through whatever you're going through in your life. And so then Jesus goes on and he says, okay, now that you have that framework and mindset, knowing that he's good and that he's wise and he knows what he's doing. So now you need to just keep talking to him about, forward thinking, looking into the future of when God will make his kingdom completely known. All right. May your kingdom come soon. Sometimes when we say these words, we just kind of rattle them off when we speak these words of Jesus here. But I think Jesus wants us to slow down a little bit and to really recognize that the goodness of life isn't going to fully happen until God's full kingdom is restored and happens. And you see all throughout the New Testament, Paul used to use this word Maranatha, which means Lord, come. In other words, Paul would just look for the day. I can't wait until you, Father, make all things right, all things new, and you make your kingdom completely dominant in all its goodness and all its glory and all its love and all its healing perfection in my life and the life of humanity. May your kingdom come soon. And then he says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What Jesus is saying here is that we should be praying for God's will. Now, in heaven, God's will just happens naturally. It's just simply, it just goes and it is executed, and all the heavenly beings, they do exactly what he says. But here on earth, it's a war zone. We're constantly battling and fighting against God's will. And Paul said, God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And so what Jesus is saying is that we should just constantly be coming to our Father and saying, Father, teach me what your will is. Let me see how it's good, pleasing, and perfect. Let your will be done in my life, Lord, that you would just move within me, that I would do and think and say and love the way that you would want me to do all of those things, Father. So let your will be done in and through me, out into our culture, because your will is good, pleasing, and perfect. So he, first of all, he talks about our relationship with God. Then he talks about our need for resources in this world. And so he goes on in this next verse, and he says in verse 11, give us today the food, what we need. Now, oftentimes we don't pray this, because I don't know about you, but I don't think there's ever been a time where I've really actually had to pray for food. But I think what Jesus would say to us, even in the 21st century, is we need to talk to God about these things for a couple of reasons. One is to help us to realize that, man, we are blessed beyond belief. Oftentimes when we talk to God about our resources and about our stuff, oftentimes we're talking to him because we're so distracted by those things and thinking that we need these things in order for us to be happy and content in our lives. What Jesus is saying, when we recognize that all we really need is when it comes to material things, is food, then we can take a deep breath and even let go of some of the material stuff in our lives that maybe we could no longer afford like we once did. But we can still be incredibly, you know, content and have incredible joy, because what Jesus is teaching us is, you know what we really need? You know what the reward that we get from our Father when we come to him privately? You know what all that is? It's really a beautiful, wonderful relationship with our Father. That our biggest and greatest need that we need is to be loved, by which, you know, fills our heart, that takes care of our spiritual and emotional and relational needs. Those are the things that really make our lives just the best. And sometimes we can look at situations and things and think that those are the things that need to be in order for us to be happy. What Jesus is saying here is, when we just come to him and just say, Father, I just need my bread today. You know, and I am good because I have you and I have wonderful people in my life. You know what it also should do in our lives then? The other thing is to help us to realize that, man, I have so much great stuff. I have way more food than I ever need. I have incredible food. I never go hungry, and I have so much, you know, to drink, and these aren't even I don't even think about these things, God. And that comes from you. The blessings that I have, indoor toilets, it's amazing, AC, it's incredible, cars, all that stuff is absolutely amazing, Lord. And those are wonderful gifts. But I recognize that really all I need is just food and you. You are the source of my contentment and the joy of my life. Everything else is just nothing more of an expression to me that you love me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then he turns the corner about us talking to him about the importance of a wonderful, authentic relationship with him and with other people. And so in verse 11, Jesus says, and forgive us our sins. In other words, we should be talking to God and saying, God, I just want to be clear. You know all things. You already know all the junk in my life. What is it in my life that's already hindering me from my relationship with you? Bring those up and I will give them to you. And I ask you to clear those away and forgive me. Okay. Because I want to have that relationship with you, as I know that you want me to have that relationship with you. But he says this as well, He said, but as we go back one back there, but as we have forgiven those who sin against us. So when we pray this prayer here, forgive us our sins, we should pray it in the same vein as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. In other words, what Jesus is saying, when we come to the Father, we need to recognize that our relationship with our Father is also tethered to our relationships with other people. That intimacy with God is intimacy with others. That reconciliation with God should bring about reconciliation with other people. And so what God is basically saying is that, you know, for us in our relationship with Him, we need to come to a relationship with Him with authenticity, by which we need to say, God, I am a poor sinner. I've made so many mistakes. Please forgive me. But at the same time, not only have we received that forgiveness, in that same vein, we should give that forgiveness away. If we don't do that, then we're just being selfish. I'm willing to take forgiveness and hoard it, but not give it away. And that's not the heart of God, because Jesus goes on, He says in verse 14, you skip down a couple of verses, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now you may read that and go, wait a minute. You don't understand. They've wounded me. They've hurt me. And it's hard for me to forgive them, oh Lord. Here's the thing. That may be absolutely true. And you know what? It's in those moments that you need your Father. Those are the things that God wants us to talk to Him about. Father, I know You want me to forgive them. And there's things in my life and hurts and wounds that I'm not able to get past in order to have the freedom to forgive them. Help me, Father, to work through these things. That is what prayer looks like. It's the honest conversation with God about honest things in our lives. Even when we read verses like this. God, I do. I want to get to a place by which I need Your forgiveness. Help me to work through my inability to forgive other people. And I believe that when we come to Him with those authentic hearts, He will begin to move into our hearts, by which then we begin to see the generosity of God, by which our hearts are filled with that generosity that gives us the power and the ability to be able to love somebody who's wounded us, because now we've been healed by the love of the Father, and now we live by the love of our Father. So Jesus ends his you know, talk on how we should talk to our Father this way. And He says in verse 13, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is why it's so important for us to talk to our Father every single day, because every single day our hearts want to yield to the temptation of negativity, pridefulness, lust, greed, all the junk of this world. That's our temptation. Our hearts want to bend towards that. And for our hearts to bend back into the place where it needs to be, to where we have a loving, intimate relationship with Father and a reconciled, loving relationship with other people, we constantly need to come to Him and ask Him to continue to purify our hearts, purify our minds, to keep asking for forgiveness when we've messed those things up, and be, you know, humble in our relationships with other people and forgiving them in order to have that close relationship. That's the reason for prayer. The reason for prayer and authentic communication with God and with other people is God's desire for us to be unified in our relationship with Him and with other people. Prayer is an amazing gift that God has given you. It's an amazing gift. It is something that we should all cherish and that we should all use and take great benefit of. Jesus Christ died so we can come to the very presence of the Creator of the world and call Him Father, and to work through all the hard things of our lives with Him and do life with Him. It's an incredible gift that I highly encourage you to take full advantage of it. In fact, Psalm 116 verse 2 says this, because He bends down and listens, I will pray to Him as long as I have breath. So let's draw near to Him. Would you pray with me? Father, I'm so grateful that we can come to You just as we are. We don't have to try to figure out what are the perfect words. We just got to give You our heart. And I'm so grateful that we can come to You and with our anger and You still accept us. We can come and confess dark and ugly things by which you already know, and you cleanse us. We can come to you and tell you how grateful we are with all the amazing things that you've done in our lives, and you celebrate with us. What a beautiful, wonderful gift. And so, Father, as we just continue just to, you know, move closer to you and lean into you, God, remind us that all you desire for us to do is just to give you our heart. And so, Father, as we sing this next song, there's a lot of distractions around us in our living rooms and wherever we are. But God, I pray and I ask you that you would just help remind us that you are present even in the midst of the distractions, that we don't need complete silence to know that you are with us. And so I pray that your spirit in this moment, as we sing, meditate, listen, talk to you, as we listen to these words, whatever we do, I pray that we would just move closer to you, that our hearts would just move more intimately and deeply and connected to yours. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.